Welcome back to the She Said podcast with Amy and Lisa, number 27. I like that that number is growing.
It is growing. I mean, people close to me are shocked that we're at 27. So I'm impressed that I've
hung in there
and stuck in.
Because, you know, I'm chasing you down and I'm dragging you here, you know. So
I've made it.
You don't have a choice.
So last night, Lisa made us a great dinner, something I've never done before. And here I am, 51, and I've never just sat down with girlfriends at someone's house and had dinner.
Really?
No.
I don't think I have either.
So that was something new and it was really, really cool. And then to find out I had a mutual friend with a very good friend, like that was, I mean, there's something charming about having an intimate dinner with just your girlfriends and just getting to know each other.
And it turned out, so that we're talking about the seat at the table, which I started this month last night was my first night. And I did that because I saw such a need and I heard from so many people after an event I did in July, where people love just connecting with new people that they didn't know. And I think, you know, coming through COVID and all the stuff we've been through, connection and conversation is so important and something that we don't do enough of.
Yeah, I'm definitely not good. I'm not good about meeting up with people. And I need to do better about that. But so it was very good. And you made sure you got it on our calendars early enough. And the text messages that you sent out for reminders that were so thoughtfully done. Like you could tell Lisa has put in a ton of energy into this and probably money, but you could tell how important it was to her, which is why I was not going to miss it. I mean, I responded immediately that I was coming. I knew I didn't have a choice anyway, right?
No, you didn't have a choice. I would have found you and drug you there. It turned out exactly what my vision was. Mm-hmm. Like everything about it. The only thing I found, you know, those little things I would have done, I kind of felt like I was rushing everything just because I was probably more sensitive to people's time since, people do work the next day. But I mean, as far as the night and the conversation, and just the ease of everything was my vision.
It was very good.
I loved every second of it. And I felt when everybody left, just such a feeling of contentment, happiness. Yeah. And I feel like, I really truly feel like you have two new friends that you didn't have before last night.
Absolutely.
And I think really, they feel the
really
same
like
thing.
Both of them.
I mean, just the sweetest people.
Totally.
And that's what this particular grouping, I let ChatGPT decide just to see what they did, and they picked out the perfect three people, except for the two talkative ones.
It was so funny because when we saw that talk, I was like, I got picked over for being talkative, so that there's a talkative person. But I'm like, wait, I don't, because we're talking a whole lot. Well, you said it picked her too as talkative, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it was so true because. Yeah. We did.
We dominated the conversation.
We basically talked. I mean, we talked a lot.
But that, I mean, I knew that would happen. In fact, I think ChatGPT even said it's going to be a different dynamic because you do have two talkative people.
That is so funny.
And it really was exactly that. The two talkative people really talked.
But it was
talked.
All good conversations. It like, was everybody beautiful. Was like, it was fun. It was fun.
The whole evening. I mean, it worked out perfect. And the conversation flowed. It wasn't like you two dominated the conversation. Yeah. It was just really, but it was obvious who the talkative ones were. Because I would not.
Quiet.
I feel like I'm talkative, but I also probably not in group settings, very talkative. I think that's kind of what I'm known for. So, I mean, it really was just perfect.
But seriously, I suggest if people do have their own groups of people to kind of go to Lisa's Facebook page, or I don't even know, maybe you're sharing it on She Said.
I have a seat at the table page.
The concept is so neat. And I mean, you can keep that menu basic. You don't even need to ask people to bring anything. Like if you're going to take it on, like she has, I think that's also what made it easy is people didn't have to stress about, okay, what do I need to bring? Am I going to bring the right thing? I know for me, that made it easier because I didn't have to worry about that. I don't feel like I'm not in that stage. I'm in a different phase, I feel like. Hopefully, I'll go back to wanting to, you know, do things like that. But somebody that is like Lisa, just be the head of it and just open your house and do it once a month with random people and just see what happens and keep the menu simple. I mean,
what I think I saw last night, which was what I hope to see and what will hopefully continue is it's not about the food.
Not one bit.
It's about the connections and the conversation and the just, I tried to make it, I wanted it to be peaceful and I wanted it to be a beautiful evening, but I really wanted it just to feel very calming, except for my dog barking all the time if you didn't pick her up, which I don't even think that bothered people. Probably bothers me more than it bothers anybody else. But I really wanted it just to be an evening where you just could take a deep breath.
Well, it was. You did a very good job.
Well, and I want to touch base on the texting too, because I have literally, I spend my evenings sitting with the group. I've got a whole printout of all the names and I've got them categorized. We talked about that by three categories, which is talkative, quiet, and thoughtful. Because I think thoughtful and quiet are a little bit different.
Yeah.
And so I literally sat there and I'm putting these three people together based on, because they're all friends of mine or all people I know, based on what I feel like is a good threesome that's going to be a fun conversation. And I think that they could be somebody, the group that would be friends. Like, I feel like you guys would all be friends.
Absolutely.
And that's what I want for every group. And so I have literally made lists and I'm like, no, that she won't work. And I'll move in somebody else. And it's been so fun putting those groupings together. Yeah. So I already have like 9 groupings going forward.
That's awesome.
Well, 7. I'm sorry.
So you already have October planned?
I've already invited October. I've already invited November. And so I've already got the others mapped out, but I don't want to do it too far in advance because I don't want it to get diluted and lost.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to do it in enough advance that they put on their calendar because the dynamic of the people, I've really worked hard to make sure it's a good threesome that are going to work well together. So if one person can't come,
so just know if you miss, it'll
mess
everything
up
that she's in, because she has really, really been very thoughtful on what she's done for this table for 4.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so.
And everybody's been really great about responding pretty quickly because I do put on the invitation. I need to know immediately, because then if you can't come, I need to regroup everybody.
Yeah.
I've only had one group that's not responding quickly. Okay. And so it's like they're making me nervous because I have to rethink everything. Yeah. So anyway, it made me so happy last night. I couldn't have been happier. I think it turned out exactly how I wanted it to turn out. And it was fun for everybody. We cried. We laughed. And we cried more. It was it was perfect, though. I think I loved every second of it. So
good job. Thank you.
And the good news is, once I get through all this, the 9-10 groups I have now, I just redo them. And so it's new. I mean, you've got threesomes that are going to be switched around. So, I mean, you could meet potentially 30 to 50 new people before this is all over with.
It's like a dinner pyramid scheme.
Kind of, yeah. That is true. It's been fun. So I'm really excited for the next. I'm already ready for the next night.
Well, good. I am too.
Probably leave my table set. I'll be perfectly ready.
I need to leave mine like that. Well, I was lucky I even made it, because I figured you'd probably see my Facebook and was a little nervous.
I didn't see your Facebook.
She's hurt or she's. So I ended up, I got a scratch on my cornea, which is extremely painful.
How did you
let
do
me
that?
Tell you. We think probably maybe mascara I got between my contact or something.
Yep.
And but it was pretty extreme one. I mean, my eye was, it looked like a mix of pink eye and getting punched in the eye.
Oh gosh.
It was swollen and all that. So I did go to the eye doctor and they gave me some really strong antibiotics. And it was interesting because I didn't know this. She said the two places in your, only two places in your body that have like this many nerve endings, like that, they say is your eye and your fingertip. Now, I cannot confirm this. This is just what the doctor was saying. And she was like, but that's why I guess like really strong pain medication really doesn't even help that when you have that kind of pain because of the nerves. So it finally has subsided. I'm still not wearing my contacts right now. So things are kind of blurry. But that day I went to the grocery store and I did have one contact in, and then I got out of my car and I had my grocery bags, and it was, I mean, honestly, if anybody saw me parking in my Circle Drive, like it looked like Satan had just kicked me straight out of hell, because I went flying out of my car. My legs, for whatever reason, it was like my feet stuck in my car and the rest of me went forward in a dress. Yes. And my knee had popped, my bad knee had popped so bad. That was all I could think was like, I just broke my knee in half. Like I thought it's gone. And then I wasn't really feeling pain. I'm like, oh, it's good. It just broke through all the nerve. Like I'm just severed myself. I do have a bruise on my hip. Like I hurt in a lot of places. I called Rocky on the phone. I'm like, you need to come pick me up off the ground outside. Cause I was really like, I don't know if my knee's attached. It popped that bad.
Yikes.
Well, then I got up and there was like no pain. No pain in my knee. I was able to walk like normal. Now I feel like I feel like some sciatic pain kind of going on that I just feel like maybe I stretched things so bad. But my sister mentioned something that one time she went to a chiropractor and had a really bad hump on her neck or something. And he had finally adjusted her and it had broke through some calcium deposits. And she's never had that problem since. It's always been gone. So I'm wondering, like, did I just bend it so hard that it burst through some calcium deposits that
were kind of, and
yeah. So, cause there's certain things that I'm like, I feel like I maybe have a slight improvement, but I'm kind of so sore everywhere else from wiping out that I don't know. Yeah. Interesting. Hmm. But it does hurt. Don't get me wrong. It's not, I'm just trying to figure out what I did.
Did it just pop?
Yes. It's kind of, yeah. Oh yeah. It clicks. So I don't know.
There's no video of that anywhere that we could view.
No, because I had got new internet and I didn't hook my camera back up in time because I was like, oh, I'm going to go look and see. Anyways.
That's the only thing that makes it worth it if there's a video of it.
I know.
To show.
I will say when I'm getting in bed is I only have like a can of hairspray that was nearby because it was really kind of hurting for me to touch. I always make sure every day that I go down and touch the ground with my hands. Like I don't ever want to lose that ability. And it was really kind of hurt to do that. But I rolled a can of hairspray under my feet. That's what I had there. Just something hard. Rolled it. And it was very sensitive. I kind of broke through that sensitivity. And then it was so much easier to bend down and touch my feet. Kind of the same thing I learned in that bar class when she put a ball under our feet. And made us. It just makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to go to sleep because I wasn't able to sleep before that. So I did those stretches, then got in bed, and then I fell asleep.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I used to roll out all the time on one of those hard rollers, and it hurts. It's like those things that
like
hurt so good.
Hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about the bottom of my feet.
Bottom of my feet, so though, I don't do that well.
That means you got a lot to work through.
Oh, I'm sure
there.
I do. That's
you should do
brutal
that.
To me.
Yeah.
And the hips, when you roll on your hip, it's just like you want to cry.
Hurts. My mom would freeze water bottles and do her feet.
Yeah. I have heard to do that.
So, anyway,
well,
it's been a busy week for me like that.
I didn't know, or I would have been laughing at you.
Yeah.
My mom and I had that so bad where someone falls and you just can't help yourself. You laugh.
Oh, it was
and you
one
feel
of those.
Horrible, but you can't help it. You have to
Rocky
laugh.
Rocky laughed too.
Yeah. I would have been laughing my head off if I would have been there.
Seeing me still sitting there, but I was there. Have you tried anything new this week?
I'm looking at glutathione.
Okay.
Have you ever done it?
I mean,
detoxing.
You mean, I'm certain I've seen a body in a pill in a bottle.
Well, there's different kinds. You can do a peptide.
Okay.
I probably won't
no,
do
I've
the peptide, but they also have like liposomal liquid that you drink. That's supposed to be really good just to detox.
Okay. No, I haven't.
I just read yesterday that a brand new newborn baby just born has 260 toxins. From just like breathing in through the umbilical cord.
Sure.
I mean, think about that. How sad is that? We've talked about that. Mm-hmm. I did the toxology test where you have to spit in a tube for 55,000 times a day to get enough saliva. And then they run the test. And I had a lot of toxins. Some of it was chemo related, obviously, the heavy metals. But then it's just from everything, from, you know,
well, now they got the Tylenol thing going on. And have you seen these pregnant moms literally taking Tylenol in front of the camera? And they're like, I'm pregnant and I'm going to take all the Tylenol I want. And they're just taking Tylenol pills for Instagram or for TikTok. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't even know why you would.
Yeah,
I don't understand needing that kind of attention. But
I don't get that.
Whatever.
Well, I'm looking into it because it obviously everybody needs to detox almost every day and trying to find the right thing to detox with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I haven't done it yet, but that's kind of my new thing, my rabbit hole I'm going down where I just spend way too much time.
Yeah, those rabbit holes.
Jeez, they keep me very occupied.
Yeah, they do, right?
So I don't have any yet, but it's good. I mean, glutathione, I guess, is in every cell of our body. Mm-hmm. And so to it kind of detoxes your liver and
yep.
it's kind of the master of that. So we'll see.
Well, and I take that liver cleanse and that candida cleanse. So, but I don't know what all.
And that's why I wonder, like, is it potent enough? Liposomal obviously absorbs in your body mm-hmm. fast. And so I don't know. I haven't decided what I'm doing yet, but I'm very interested.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of health stuff, this was a conversation that I've had with a couple people, and we kind of touched on it last night about when you see somebody, if you're close enough to them or something like that, and if something doesn't seem right with them health-wise, if you see a change in them, is it appropriate to say, and I'm not talking about your mom or your sister or whatever, like a friend, yeah. like somebody you know, because I've experienced this with someone that was diagnosed with cancer. And is it appropriate to tell somebody, hey, I just want to let you know, like something looks different. I feel like I see something different in you. You know what I mean? Because this person that was diagnosed with cancer, when I saw them, it had been a while, but there was an inflammation on this person that I had never noticed before. And I knew this person well enough to know what was normal, what their hands would look like, what their face, their skin, their hair. And I could just tell something wasn't right. And it really bothered me for a while. But I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm not going to call up this person's house. And it wasn't, you know, like that. Well, sure enough, I got told about 6 to 8 months later that this person has very, very bad cancer. And that was my first thought. I was like, I knew it. I knew something was wrong. It, you know, I wish... I would have felt, you know, is it insulting to somebody to tell them, hey, something isn't right. I noticed something. You may want to check on this. Like, have you ever done that?
I haven't, but I get where your thought process is. I think that it mm-hmm. is, because I can tell you if someone walked up to me and said, you know, you're not doing so well. You look, something's going mm-hmm. on and there's nothing going on. You're going to go, really? Why do I look so bad? What's wrong? Know. So there's that fine line, but yeah. it's pretty, you know, most of the time it's pretty obvious. And you hear of like stories all the time, like the people on TV or someone sees them and goes, there's something going on with your neck, and they go to the doctor yes. and they have, you know, thyroid cancer or something. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a legitimate thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be individualized based on your relationship with that person.
Yeah,
but man,
yeah.
you never know whose life you're going to save because
truly,
no one's saying anything, but yet it's obvious. And then you say something, and they go to the doctor, and then they find out something, yeah. and then they can actually start working to heal that.
Yeah, so
it's a fine line.
Maybe we need to be a little more aware of really thinking about. Maybe we should say something. It just really bothers me so bad. Like,
I do think there is a look. My mom and I always talked about it. There is a look when someone has cancer. You can see it.
Yeah. It like, yes, it absolutely.
I mean, I volunteering out there, I saw it every day. And mm-hmm. you could tell without even knowing who the patient was and who the caretaker yeah. was that was with them.
It was because very obvious.
Obvious. Color, yeah. skin color,
mm-hmm. hair, the
everything.
Fragility of the hair. And
yeah, you can see when yeah. it's going on. So, I mean, it's, I think seeing that in somebody, I mean, you would hope that somebody would say that to you if you really are going mm-hmm. through something. I could see the flip side of it. If you're not, yeah, you're like, well, dang. Great. Now I'm going to go jump off a bridge because you just told me I look yeah, bad. And exactly. I thought I was feeling pretty good today. But I do think it does. Sometimes people need that. Little yeah. nudge to go to a doctor.
I agree.
It's easy to brush off symptoms. What was I just hearing?
I think
was it
thunder.
Today? Was that thunder?
Uh-huh. I just heard thunder.
Oh,
it's Tuesday here, so it's thunderstorms. We hear thunder when y'all hear this.
It's supposed to tornado or something today, maybe.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, but I did hear on was it this morning, or I might have been on video of a doctor talking about that. You can have a heart attack and not even know it because
I hear that.
It's not always, we always think we're looking for the big symptoms and it's
same
not
for
always.
Stroke. A lot of people sometimes yeah. have these little mini strokes and they don't even really realize that that's what's happened to them.
Well, and we ignore it thinking that we're just tired or we're having,
yeah.
you know, something else is going on. We're not paranoid enough. I feel like I am since having cancer. Mm-hmm. I think everything, if I get my thumb twitches, I yeah. think I've got bone cancer.
Parkinson's again.
Yeah. So I kind of look at everything, but I do see how we do probably push stuff back and ignore mm-hmm. it because it's not what we think of as the symptom. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we're down a path that we didn't want to go.
No.
But I want to ask you this question. I saw an interview this morning. There's a girl that's out of Nashville that has her own show company. Can't think of the name of it right now. But she had breast cancer a few years ago. And she has had no less than 15 surgeries since her cancer. She's cancer-free. She had a double mastectomy. She's had no less than 15 surgeries on the reconstruction. Not the cancer, but the reconstruction
Holy
after.
Moly.
She just had 3 surgeries back to back like a month ago. What are your thoughts on that? To me,
well, first of all, like the anesthesia, like that is so hard on your mind.
Horribly hard
and
on
then
your body.
You worry about the blood clots, blood clotting, and like how old is this person?
30, late 30s, early 40s, probably.
Wow. I mean, here's the thing. I can't imagine where I would be emotionally if I had to have my chest removed. So I can totally understand why someone would want to try to get back to what is their normal.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, that just seems really dangerous. That many surgeries.
It is dangerous. And I just think, is
the
it that?
The scar tissue alone. Because yeah. I know of surgeries where, you know, doctors have been like, we can only go into this one more time like this because the scar tissue will be too great. So mm-hmm. I don't know how they're even doing that.
I don't know either. She has a tube. She has a drain tube in right now from her last of the 3 surgeries. She still has draining tubes. I mean, I don't know. At that point, wow. Do you just go, you know what? Reconstruction's not necessary. At this point, my body is rejecting everything about, because that's what it's basically. Her body's just not healing from the reconstruction. Yeah, so then do you go, I'm done. I don't need this.
I probably would say I'm done.
I feel like I would too.
I mean, I'm not in that position either.
Right. It's hard to know.
So who knows what her support group surgeries. Is like. My gosh, is she married?
Yeah, kids, little kids.
Huh. That's an interesting story. I don't know. That's intense.
I mean, I just know what recovery is. Just from the original cancer and the treatment. She went through treatment and then, so your body's worn out. I mean, I think I'm 8 years out and I'm still worn out from the chemo. Yeah. I still see the effects. So your body, and I even, when I went through it and they put my port in, they wanted me to start chemo 2 days later. I just got a port put in. How is it ever going to heal when you start me on chemo, which depletes my white blood cells, which is what helps you heal from surgery?
Wow, what did they say?
I put it off. I put it off for another month because I just didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Good for you.
And so my neighbor.
And who would have thought that? What even made you think that?
The not healing?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I watched my dad go through it and I know how bad your white blood cells drop. And so I thought, well, how do you, that's what helps you heal is your white blood cells. So if you've depleted them from chemo, which is what chemo does, it destroys all your blood cells. I had to have a blood transfusion of red blood cells because it destroyed my red and my white. So I just couldn't fathom 2 days later with an open wound, 2 open wounds, because they cut you twice. They go up to your jugular. So there's an incision on your collarbone and then on your chest where the port goes in. So I had 2 incisions. I had stitches and I'm wearing a big bandage that I can't take off or can't touch. And they have to wear a mask when they open up take the bandaid off to put the clamp, the port hook on to run the needle through. Why would I let them start chemo? And I mean, they do it all the time. I see people out there all the time with their bandage on. So, you know, they just had it inserted.
Yeah.
I physically, my brain wouldn't let me go there. And so I just rescheduled it.
Did they fight you on that?
No. I'm sure they're thinking, well, you're an idiot. You have grade 3, you know, abnormal, really abnormal cancer cells that are, you're stupid, but okay. And my neighbor said, when do you start chemo? I'm like, well, I'm postponing it for a few weeks. And she goes, does your doctor know? And I said, well, not yet, because I haven't told him. But it's your body. You get to tell him.
They
can say, well, I think that's stupid. And he did tell me that a couple times, not with that specifically, but through the process, he did tell me, he's called me crazy a few times because of the decisions I made. But at the end of the day, it's my body and I'm the one going through it. So
it's very interesting.
So that's kind of my thought with her today. I'm like, man, give it up. I don't know that you need reconstruction if your body's not letting, it's not healing. There's a reason why you just can't heal from it. And she's a few years out from her treatment. So the blood cells should be back to normal.
Dang.
But that's just a fine line of, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that 15 surgeries later,
yeah.
I was done after one surgery. I can't imagine having that many in a row, and your body has got to just be wrecked from it.
It has to be. Absolutely.
Your body can't handle that much.
Well,
anesthesia.
I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with it.
I don't want to have to make that decision either.
Anything else you can think of that's...
I'm done for the day.
All right. Well, please like it, share it, follow it at She Said Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Yep.